Good evening. Certainly good to be with you all this evening. I know we're not together physically, but it's certainly good to be with you online. This is our class glorifying God through our lives. And this is through the West End Church of Christ in Bowling Green, Kentucky. And this is the April 29th, 2020 class period for Wednesday evening. As we get started, let's talk about where we've been and where we're going. So we'll all sort of be caught up. We can see that we're glorifying God through our lives. And by doing that, we are looking at different aspects of our lives. We've looked at our online presence and social media, our speech, persecution, and suffering. And today we're going to start the topic of dress. So we'll be studying dress tonight and again Sunday morning, this coming Lord's Day. And so as we're looking at our lives, we have an opportunity to glorify God by the way that we dress, or our apparel, by the way we present ourselves. And so let's be thinking about that as we prepare for this study. And we've talked about glorifying God. And why do we need to glorify God? Because we've been bought at a price. Therefore, we need to glorify God in our body and in our spirit, in your spirit, which are God. So we belong to God, and therefore we need to glorify God and show him our appreciation to him for all that he does for us. Let's define glorifying. Now, glorifying means to magnify, to extol, to praise, especially glorifying God, ascribing honor to him, acknowledging him as to his being, attributes, and acts. Also of glorifying oneself, and we'll certainly talk about the latter, glorifying ourselves, in this lesson. So we need to be just thinking about those things and how that applies towards our life. Before we get started, let's begin with a word of prayer. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for loving us and caring for us. We thank you for all the many blessings that you give us, the great gift of your Son, and for defining what love is for us that we can take of that home in heaven with you, that we can be called children of yours. Heavenly Father, we pray as we study today that we'll look at our lives and we'll make application. And if we have questions, that we'll dig into your word and understand what you have to say for us. Heavenly Father, we pray that in all things that your will be done in us and not our own. We pray that we will glorify you in so many aspects of our life, including the way that we present ourselves, the way we dress, and our apparel. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So glorifying God in our dress. So how do we do that? Well, we need to talk the talk, talk the walk, walk the talk, and walk the walk. So it's a tongue twister in a way. What we need to do is make sure that we're presenting ourselves in a way that God would want us to do that, which would include dressing as he would have us to dress. What I thought we would do is start off in the Old Testament and look at the verses, some verses in the Old Testament and what God expected of his people in the Old Testament and sort of get a background of where we need to be. If you will, we're going to be looking at several verses today. We're going to go a little fast. And so if you want to write these things down or if you want a copy of this, just let me know and I'll be happy to send that out to you. So in Genesis, the second chapter in verse 25, the King James Version says, and they were both naked, and the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. So in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve were naked, and they were not ashamed. We look at some other versions, New King James, the New American Standard Version, the English Standard Version, the NIV. They all use the word naked as well, and they all say that they were not ashamed or felt no shame. And so we can see Adam and Eve were in this paradise. They were naked, and they were not ashamed. And so if we define the word naked that's used in Genesis 2:25, we can see that it means either partially or totally naked. So it could mean partially naked or it could mean completely naked. And so it's taken from the root word, which means to be bare or to make bare, according to Strong's. But if we look in Genesis 2:25, they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. And if we look the same word, we can look in Job 1, verse 21, and he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. So we understand that we were naked when we were born. And that's the same word that's being used of Adam and Eve. Once again, it can mean partially or totally naked. We take it that Adam and Eve were totally naked because of some verses we're going to look at a little bit later. So in Genesis, the third chapter in verse 7, things progress. And Adam and Eve had partaken of fruit. And when they partook of the fruit, the King James Version says the eyes of them were opened. And they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And so you can see in different versions that the word naked is used in these different versions as well. And our little figurines over there on the side show that Adam and Eve, our little stick figures show that Adam and Eve were naked. And so the word naked here, if we look at it, means nudity. And this is a different word than what we saw in Genesis 2, verse 25. But it's from the same root word that we looked at earlier, but which means basically to be bare or to make bare, according to Strong's. In Genesis 3 and verse 7, and the eyes of them were both open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And so in verse 7, the word apron is used in the King James Version. And so if we look at that, they made themselves aprons. The New King James uses the word coverings. New American Standard Version, loin coverings. English Standard Version uses loin coverings. And the NIV uses coverings for themselves. So we can see over our diagram over there that they went from being completely naked to wearing what appeared to be more of an apron. So let's define apron. According to Strong's, apron is more like a belt for the waist, an apron, or an armor, or a girdle. And so as we think about it, we know that that would be probably similar to wearing undergarments that were made out of leaves. And so fig leaves. And so in verse 7, it says they made aprons for themselves. So it says in verse 10 and through verse 11, it says, Adam said, I hid myself because I was afraid. And he said, I heard that voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I command thee that thou shouldst not eat? And so, if we look at these words, naked is used of both of these, and this passage is used twice. And it's used in all the different versions. The word naked is used. And so when we look at this word, it's the same word. It's different than what was used in Genesis 2:25, but it's the same word as what's used in Genesis 3:7. And it's from the same root word. So we can see that that this means that they were nude to be or to make bare. It's just important for us to remember, you know, that regardless of what they had on, that they were naked. So Adam said he was naked, and that was after he had made the aprons out of fig leaves. So the fig leaves were not considered to be a sufficient covering. And so both Adam and God used the same word. So Adam said he was naked, and God said, who told you you were naked? So we could see here that what Adam had prepared was not sufficient enough. And so if we look in Genesis 3rd chapter, verse 21, the word coat is used. And so unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. And so if we look at different versions, you can see for the word coats, tunics is used in the New King James Version, garments is used in the New American Standard Version, as well as the English Standard Version and the NIV Version. And so we see in our diagram, they went from being completely naked to wearing aprons, or what would appear probably today compared to maybe modern day undergarments or even less than that. And they went to wearing what was more like a shirt. And so if we look up that word, Strong's tells us that that word means a shirt, a coat, a garment, or a robe, meaning to cover. And so if we think about that, Adam also and his wife did the Lord make coats of skins and clothed them. So we can see a progression of clothing that continued to go on. Verse 21, and to Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. So as we think of the word clothe, and we look at these different passages, they all use the word clothe or clothed. And so let's define what that means. Well, the word clothe, according to Strong's, means to properly wrap around, to put on a garment or to clothe, apparel, arm, array, clothe, come upon, put on or wear. And as we think about that with this verse, let's make a comparison of how this word is used in Genesis 3:21, that they were clothed with these coats, compared to Job, the 10th chapter, verse 11, clothe me with skin and flesh. So we certainly understand that means to cover or to encase. And as we go back to the meaning, it means to properly wrap around, to put on. And so our skin certainly covers us. Well, Exodus, the 20th chapter, and verse 26, the Levitical priesthood were given some instructions about how they should dress. And so in the King James Version, verse 26 of Exodus 20, neither shalt thou go up by steps into mine altar, that thy nakedness be not discovered of thereon. And so they were not to go up on these steps so that the nakedness would be exposed. And if we look at the different versions, they use the word nakedness, and the NIV uses the word private parts be exposed. And so because of this, let's look at what the nakedness, how it's defined by Strong's. And so Strong's is defining this as nudity, literally, nakedness, shame, uncleanness. But I think what's important is this is actually talking about the reproductive organs. It's saying that these were not to be exposed. And so if we go a little bit further, it's taken from the root word 61:68, which once again means to make bare, hence to pour out. And so it's talking about that these things were not to be done. They were not to be discovered. They were not to be made naked. They were not to be spread. They were not to be uncovered. So that's where this word, the root word that this is taken from. And as we think about this, the words naked and nakedness that we've looked at, both of these words are different than the Hebrew words that we looked at in Genesis 2:25 and 3:7 and verse 10 as well. So this is a little different a word, and it's going a little bit further as it's referring to the reproductive organs. So as we think about this, thou shalt not go up the steps into my altar, that thy nakedness be not exposed or discovered. And as we talked about in the NIV, it actually uses the word private parts. So the word discover, what does discovered mean? And so as we look at discover, the King James Version uses the word discover. The other translations that I've selected here use the word exposed. So they were not to expose themselves. And if we define that in Strong's, it tells us that it means to denude, usually stripped, figuratively, to reveal, advertise, appear. So as we think about that, it's not something that we're to do. They were not to reveal it. They were not to expose themselves. And so as we look at this verse once again, that thou nakedness be not discovered thereon. And we certainly could relay that to us today, that we are not to expose ourselves, that we are not to reveal ourselves. And certainly some of our clothing today can be revealing, even though it may be covering us. Well, let's move on to Exodus, the 28th chapter, in verse 42. And thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness, from the loins even unto their thighs they shall reach. And so the Levitical priests were to have what were called breeches. And these breeches were to cover their loins into their thighs. And as we look at the different passages or different translations, versions of the Bible, we can see trousers, breeches, undergarments, and undergarments are used. And so we get a picture of what these basic garments were. They were used underneath the robes, and they were to cover their nakedness. And so as we look at this passage, Let's define what breeches is. According to Strong, a sense of hiding, drawers from concealing the private parts. It's taken from the root word 3647. If we look at that, it means to store away, the memory, to lay up in store. So these were things that were to be kept apart. They were to be secret. They were to be hidden. And so as we look at this, the linen breeches, breeches were to cover their nakedness. And so from their loins to their thighs. It says to cover. Well, what's the word cover mean? Well, as we look at the different translations, they all use the word cover or covering. And as we define cover, Strong looks at that to cover for clothing or secrecy, clad self, clothes, clothe, conceal, cover, flee to, hide, overwhelm. So these were things that were to be kept, you know, undercover. I mean, they were to be kept secret. And so as we look at this passage, I think it's important for us to realize this word. And if we look at the root words, what it really means, that means to keep keep private. Nakedness. So the breeches were to cover their nakedness. And as we look at the different translations, the New American Standard Version uses the word bare flesh. And the English Standard, naked flesh. And the NIV uses the word body. And so nakedness defined here, by Strong's, means a little further. These are different words than what we saw in Exodus 20, 26, as well as passages in Genesis. So this, once again, goes a little bit further, meaning to keep the private, the parts of the reproductive system of a man. And so this was to keep, you know, covered. And if we look at the root word means to preach or publish or to show forth. So they were not to show forth. they were not to preach or publish, you know, this, their exposure. So the nakedness. So it was to cover their nakedness. The breeches were to cover their nakedness. And it was from their loins. And so if we consider what the loins are, there are actually two words that are used for nakedness, or two definitions are provided by Strong's, and they basically mean the same thing. Once again, it's talking about the reproductive organs, and it's talking about, you know, to make available those things, and that they were not to be made available. These are the same words as in Exodus 20 and 26, but they're different from Genesis 2, 25 and Genesis 3, 7, 10. So once again, the nakedness was to be covered from their loins even to their thighs. And so as we think about the loins, what are the loins? And so as we look at some different passages, it means the waist, the hips, the waist. So the different versions show that. And you can see by our diagram that we have progressed from being naked, you know, going all the way down to wearing what would be considered coats. And then with that, we're some undergarments for the men underneath that. So loins defined means the waist or the small of the back, according to Strong's. And so as we think about that, they were to go from the small of the back to the thighs. And so as we look at the thighs, and we look at the different words that were used in the different versions of the Bible, we see thighs is consistent. And as we define thighs, we could see that it means basically from its fleshy softness, the thigh, the shank, the flank, the side. And so we get the idea that these were basically coverings, undergarments that went from the waist or the hips, the small of the back, down towards the knee. Exactly how long, I don't know, but we're told that it covered the thighs. So in the Old Testament, we can see that there was a progression from over on the left part of the screen to the right part of the screen of total nakedness. They went to loincloths, they went to coats, and then the Levitical priest had what were breeches, or basically undergarments that were worn underneath that. So what about the New Testament? Does the New Testament tell us to go the opposite direction, or are we to continue going forward where we left off in the Old Testament? So the New Testament versus the Old Testament, there's some things that we can look at. Here's some questions for us to consider as we go forward. The Old Testament, is it outdated? Is it completely replaced by the New Testament? Does the New Testament focus only on the heart? The New Testament provides us lots of warnings on sins of the flesh and how we should protect ourselves from that. Was the dress that's talked about in the Old Testament, which the Old Testament is given as our schoolmaster, is it provided only for the Old Testament and therefore no longer valid? Does God no longer care, you know, what we dress like and what our appearance is? And is the New Testament more of a mental thing than a physical thing, or more of a heart than an actual application of what we wear? Well, let's define nakedness. According to Vine's Expository Dictionary, if we look at this, naked or nakedness means unclothed, scantily or poorly clad, clad in the undergarment only. So we can see those definitions. Another definition by Vines is naked or scantily clad. And finally, the third definition is want of sufficient clothing. So we can see the definition of what's there, and that we know that nakedness could involve different stages of undress or dress. One of the more probably popular passages or well-known passages about dress in the New Testament is 1 Timothy, the 2nd chapter, verse 9. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided, broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array. So as we look at these different passages look at these passages in different versions, we can see the word adorn or adorning is used. And if we consider adorning, it means to arrange or to put into order, hence to adorn or to ornament. And so if we think about that, another definition would be a harmonious arrangement of order, decoration, and referring to 1 Timothy 2 and verse 9 means decent, modest. So we think about the word modest. They were to adorn themselves in modest apparel. And some of the different versions use different words. So we can see proper, respectable, modestly. And so if we think about that, let's look at the word modest. According to Vines, means orderly, well-arranged, decent, harmonious arrangement, adorning. So a lot like what we looked at before, the adorning. And so it's proper that a woman adorn herself in a modest fashion. Also in this passage, we could see the word shamefacedness is used. And they were to do so with modest apparel with shamefacedness. As we look at some different versions, we see propriety, discreetly, modesty, and decency. And so as we look at these words, let's look at what shamefacedness, how you would define that. And so as we think about that, it means a sense of shame, modesty, is used regarding the demeanor of women in the church. And so basically, you know, it's a sense of shame or modesty that you would not expose yourself, that you would dress, not overdress, that you would be of a humble spirit. And so it says with shamefacedness and sobriety. So they were to adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety. And so let's look at some other versions. We see moderation, discreetly, self-control, and propriety. And so we can see that they had ways that they were to adorn themselves and the attitude that they were to have in doing so. And so let's look at the word sobriety. And if we look at that, it means soundness of mind, sound judgment. So it would be a person who has self-control, person who has a rein. I like what it says here, with its constant rein on the passions and desires. So this would be a person who is in control of their dress and of their body. Well, another popular passage, it would be 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 6, which talks a lot about our inward beauty. In the New King James Version, it says, "Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. When they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair and wearing gold or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. What a great example that we have of Sarah. And we can see that the attitude and the inward beauty that we should have. And so wives are told that this is the way they should be with their husbands and the way that they should adorn themselves. So as we think about the inward beauty, and our time is coming to an end here, we need to think about who do we glorify with our dress? Are we glorifying Satan? Are we glorifying our fellow man? Are we glorifying ourselves? Or are we glorifying our bodies? Or are we glorifying God? And so as we've looked at these passages in the Old Testament and the New Testament, the Old Testament gives us some ideas of what our dress should be, or what our dress was back then. The New Testament doesn't give us quite as much description about physical dress, but it tells us the attitude that we need to dress with and the outlook that we should have. And we'll certainly talk about that a lot more on Sunday. And I hope that you can join us at that time. But the reason we need to glorify God in our dress is because we've been bought at a price. And therefore, we need to glorify God in our body and in our spirit, which are God's. And as we look forward to our next class, we need to also think about we need to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he'll exalt us in due time in 1 Peter 5 and verse 6. So in our dress, there's no need for us to glorify ourselves. We can be very humble in our dress, and God will exalt us in our due time. So our next class, we'll continue glorifying God through our dress and my dress. We'll continue that on Sunday, and appreciate so much you being with us, and hope this study has been beneficial. If you have any questions or comments, please don't hesitate to contact me, and we look forward to our class Sunday. Thank you much.